Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the first chapter of Mark, has served as our gospel lesson. I'd just like to reread the first two verses of this passage. They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and was teaching, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. This is God's word. The human reaction to authority is complicated. I could offer a number of examples at this point, but few statements get right to the heart of things better than singer-songwriter John Mellencamp's authority song. Do you know it? From 1983, the chorus goes, "I fight authority, authority always wins." I've been doing it since I was a young kid, and I come out grinning. Yeah, I fight authority, authority always wins. Human beings are, by nature, rebels. As a pastor that I once listened to said, "Parents, did you have to teach your children to misbehave?" This is as old as the Garden of Eden and as modern as this month's breaking news. And yet, humanity doesn't despise all authority. I told you, it's complicated. When someone comes along with the so-called air of authority, they tend to get our attention. When someone seems to know what they're talking about, we're apt to sit up a little straighter, listen a little closer. Maybe, finally, we found someone worthy of our trust, respect, and cooperation. So it is that we find the people who heard Jesus teach being blown away. They said, "There's something different about him. He teaches as one who has authority." Unlike the scribes and teachers of the law, who were always carefully citing rabbinic precedent for their opinions, Jesus just said, "Here it is." People noticed the difference. And they noticed the difference in the way that what Jesus said matched up with what he did. It was like he had written scripture himself. There was an individual sitting in the synagogue that day who agreed, but in the strangest way possible. This person agreed, but was not pleased with what Jesus had to say. This man, Scripture tells us, had an unclean spirit. No sooner had Jesus finished speaking than this man gave voice to the evil spirit that was within him. "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." The demon not only recognized Jesus, he acknowledged him as God's own perfect Son. Implicit in his words is the knowledge that Jesus would do what no sinner could. That demon knew Jesus had entered the world to offer his life as the payment that would break the stranglehold that Satan had placed on humanity. And the demon demands to know, "Have you come to destroy us?" Of course, that's exactly why Jesus had come. Through his life, His suffering, His death and resurrection, Jesus offered His perfect self as the only acceptable substitute for our endless rebellions. For 33 years, He lived, cared, healed, and taught. And when He had done all that the prophets had promised He would do, He died for us. Then, in a glorious, victorious moment, 3 days after His lifeless body was placed in the tomb, He came back to life for us. And in that moment, the demons knew that Jesus had completed the plan to save us from joining them. From that moment, all who were called to faith in God's Son would find light replacing darkness, hope replacing despair, and heaven replacing hell as our final residence. It's a strange place to look for confirmation. But in Capernaum's demon, you hear evidence given about Jesus and His mission. You hear an informed opinion. The opinion of a being who knew that because of Jesus, its days were numbered. There's a whole sermon here about how one could know who Jesus is without trusting in Him, but that'll have to wait for another time. Of course, that day in Capernaum synagogue, Jesus was not looking for the endorsement of the devil. He knew that this exchange could be misunderstood by those who were there. That's why, before the demon could say anything else, Jesus ordered it to be silent and come out of the man. That the demon obeyed and did what God's Son ordered it to do did not go unnoticed. And what did the people say? Once again, they commented, "What's going on here? Not only a new teacher, but a new teaching with authority. He commands the unclean spirits, and they have to do what He says." And in short order, the power of Jesus' authority spread all throughout the countryside. Even so, during His teaching ministry, Jesus encountered one unreceptive audience after another. But within those unreceptive audiences were individuals who were compelled to put aside their preconceived notions when confronted with the truth of Jesus' words and actions. They found it impossible to say Jesus was a fake when at His command a dead girl was restored to life. It was impossible to brand Him a charlatan when a lifelong disabled person began to walk. It was impossible to count Him a fraud when a possessed man was freed from the demon that had run his life. Question and doubt and hesitation were eliminated when they stood before the risen Christ, when they touched the scars in His hands and His feet and put their hand where the spear had gone in. Then they knew, as I pray you know, that Jesus had done what only God's Son could do. He had shown an authority that was somehow not prideful, but humble. An authority displayed not in flexing muscle, but in sacrificial service. and authority, uninterested in winning at all costs, but instead was ready to lose it all for the sake of love. But make no mistake, it is an authority that demands a response. And sadly, in our era, the song goes on. I fight authority. Authority always wins. I've been doing it since I was a young kid. Our age has many who deny the authority of Jesus, who deny what He's done and the grace which He alone can give. Why? That's a question, isn't it? Could it be that the skeptic senses, correctly as it turns out, that if Jesus is who He says He is, then they have no right to be the authority over their own lives any longer? It's the greatest threat to the natural rebellious mind. If I welcome Jesus as my king, that means I am dethroned. That is a terrifying thought. If King Jesus is a tyrant, and that is a thrilling thought, a life-changing thought, if King Jesus is a healer and a shepherd, a warrior unafraid to make the heroic sacrifice. If King Jesus is going to come into my life with compassion and the commitment of the cross, He won't need to coerce me into compliance. I will place every part of my life in His hands with confidence, hands that were scarred for me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Him. And we are His. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we marvel today that You use Your authority to serve us, to save us, lead us to sincere repentance that receives Your redemption with thanks, and teach us to love what You command through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.